The gross expense ratio of ANHIX is 1.08%. Current performance may be lower or higher than performance data quoted. Performance quoted is past performance and is no guarantee of future results. The investment return and principal value of an investment in the fund will fluctuate, so that investor shares, when redeemed, may be worth more or less than their original cost. Current performance to the most recent month's end can be obtained by calling 855-751-4324.
Welcome back to Angel Oak Capital's Portfolio Managers Insights podcast series. This is Randy Crispin, Marketing Director at Angel Oak Capital Advisors, and this is the podcast on the second quarter 2017 performance review of the High Yield Opportunities Fund. Joining me today is Matt Kennedy. Matt serves as the head portfolio manager for the Angel Oak High Yield Opportunities Fund, ticker ANHIX, as well as head of corporate credit for Angel Oak Capital Advisors. As of 6/30/2017, the performance for ANHIX over the last 1, 3, and 5 years has been exceptional, with returns of 13.28%, 4.81%, and 6.71% respectively. Since inception, ANHIX has delivered an annualized return of 10.09%. In this podcast, Matt will be providing a review of the second quarter results, as well as discuss where he's finding opportunities in the high yield market heading into the last half of the year. With that, welcome, Matt, and thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks, Randy. I'm glad to be here.
The Angel Oak High Yield Opportunities Fund, ticker ANHIX, returned 1.69% during the second quarter and is now up 4.34% for the year. What were the main contributors and detractors from the fund's performance for the quarter end and year?
From both the quarter and the year, energy has been the largest positive contributor performance from an attribution basis. In the second quarter, over half of the outperformance in the energy allocation can be attributed to two positions. The largest is an offshore drilling company, primarily focused in Southeast Asia and the Middle East. They completed an initial public offering in the quarter, raising equity and using the proceeds to purchase additional drilling rigs, which significantly improved their credit profile. The second is a specialty products company that's getting some traction in improving their financial performance after their refinery operations suffered early in 2016 when energy and oil prices came under pressure. On a year-to-date basis, the same two companies accounted for the bulk of the energy allocation outperformance, along with an additional company that produces wood pellets as a substitute for burning coal in coal-fired energy plants, which is getting a lot of interest with the global focus on emissions. In terms of detractors, the biggest detractor in the quarter was a holding in the automotive sector in an auto parts supplier. The company had some operational issues in early 2016 due to excessive demand growth, which pressured margins and cash flow. However, over the last 12 months, they've made some changes, increasing capacity, and have been addressing the issues, making progress, improving their margins and cash flow. And the bonds were a significant contributor to performance in the first quarter. However, in the second quarter, we've seen investors taking some profits, locking in some gains, especially after the auto sales have been coming off of their peak record levels over the last few months. With regard to detractors on a year-to-date basis, the telecom sector has been the biggest detractor, and that's through a combination of being underweight the sector, which has done relatively well year-to-date, as well as having a position in a wireline company who's had some issues integrating a recent acquisition. We actually reduced that position earlier in the year by about two-thirds, but the remaining position was still a drag on performance here in the second quarter. And year to date. The company's been through this before with acquisitions, but they do generate significant free cash flow, and we expect them to be able to address the issues with regard to the integration and stabilize financial performance in the near future.
With such a strong run in high yield over the last 12 to 15 months, some market participants are worried that spreads are too tight. How do you think your strategy could perform if there was a spread widening scenario?
In terms of our strategy, we focus on risk-adjusted returns and outperformance over a full market cycle. A key part of that strategy is focusing on valuation and the risk-reward trade-off. We want to make sure that we are being compensated for the risk we are taking and emphasize capital preservation as part of that. Because of our emphasis on valuation, risk-reward, and capital preservation, periods of market weakness or spread widening have been those where we've generated our largest outperformance. So think along the lines of periods like 2011, late 2015, early 2016. Those are good examples of how the strategy has performed during periods of spread widening. Strong performance during market sell-offs also contributes to our lower standard deviation of returns relative to the market and the peer group, leading to attractive risk-adjusted returns.
Are there specific sectors you find attractive in today's market, and are there any sectors you are avoiding or are underweight?
Well, in general, we're very positive on the U.S. economy and are primarily focused on sectors that we think will continue to benefit from the current economic environment. The current environment looks very positive when it comes to employment, slowly rising wages, low interest rates. Those are all positives from a fundamental perspective for corporate credit. The Federal Reserve has started to raise interest rates and is expected to begin reducing the size of its balance sheet in the near future. But with inflation running below expectations, we expect any rate increases to be gradual. So in that context, we're currently overweight basic industries, which is a very broad category. But within that sector, we like companies leveraged to the housing market, especially home builders and building materials companies. Demand for homes remains strong and low interest rates continue to support affordability. Another sector we're overweight are capital goods, which should benefit from a pickup in manufacturing and infrastructure spending, whether it's driven by fundamental economic growth or fiscal policies. In terms of underweights, healthcare is a sector that we've been underweight for quite a while. The underweight is a combination of valuation and just general uncertainty. Valuations are tight in the healthcare space, and when coupled with the uncertainty surrounding the Affordable Care Act, the risk-reward trade-off doesn't appear attractive.
How do you feel the High Yield Opportunities Fund differentiates itself from its peers? And what are some of the advantages of owning a fund like ANHIX in both up and down markets?
We view the fund as being differentiated by its emphasis on risk-adjusted returns, which I just discussed, as well as its flexible relative value approach to asset allocation. As I mentioned earlier, the fund is focused on valuation, risk-reward, and capital preservation. When we aren't being compensated appropriately, we will reduce the risk profile of the fund in a current environment like this, positioning the fund to take advantage of valuations when the market eventually reprices. Additionally, we will take advantage of relative value opportunities or dislocations with other high-yielding asset classes such as CLOs when the risk-reward trade-off is attractive relative to high-yield corporate bonds. Also, our small size allows us to take meaningful positions in names where we have a high degree of conviction. Our size also allows us to be nimble in getting in, or more importantly, getting out of a position without moving the market, which we view as a big advantage given the changes in liquidity environment post the financial crisis.
What is your outlook for the high yield market for the remainder of 2017, and how is the fund positioned?
Well, this year has certainly gone off to a great start. Fundamentals look positive, with economic growth running approximately 2% over the last 12 months. Unemployment is low and continues to move down. Wages are moving higher, albeit gradually, and inflation remains relatively low. With that backdrop and the continued strong demand for income by investors, we expect more of the same in the second half of the year, although probably less in the way of spread tightening relative to the first half and more in the way of carry in terms of composition of total return.
Matt, thank you for your time today. We look forward to speaking with all of you again real soon.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Definitions and disclosures. Collateralized loan obligations, or CLO, cash flow, the net amount of cash and cash equivalents moving into and out of a business. Free cash flow, FCF, a measure of a company's financial performance calculated as operating cash flow minus capital expenditures. FCF represents the cash that a company is able to generate after spending the money required to maintain or expand its asset base. Spread, the difference between the current bid and ask price for a stock. Standard deviation, a statistical measure of portfolio risk used to measure variability of total return around an average over a specific period of time. The greater the standard deviation over the period, the wider the variation or range of returns, and hence, the greater the fund's volatility, calculated since inception. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Principal loss is possible. Investments in debt securities typically decreases when interest rates rise. The risk is usually greater for longer-term debt securities. Investments in lower-rated and non-rated securities present a greater risk of loss to principal and interest than higher-rated securities. Investments in asset-backed and mortgage-backed securities include additional risks that investors should be aware of, including credit risk, prepayment risk, possible illiquidity, and default, as well as increased susceptibility to adverse economic developments. Derivatives involve risks different from, and in certain cases greater than, the risks presented by more traditional investments. Derivatives may involve certain costs and risks, such as illiquidity, interest rate, market, credit, management, and the risk that a position could not be closed when most advantageous. Investing in derivatives could lose more than the amount invested. Investments in foreign securities involve greater volatility and political, economic, and currency risks, and differences in accounting methods. For more information on these risks and the other risks of the fund,
and expenses must be considered carefully before investing. The statutory prospectus and summary prospectus contain this and other important information about the investment company, and it may be obtained by calling 855-751-4324 or by visiting angeloakcapital.com. Read it carefully before investing. The Angel Oak funds are distributed by Quasar Distributors, LLC.